Copyright 1994, Westwood One, Incorporated. No portion of this program may be reproduced without the express written consent of the copyright owners. All rights reserved. A production of WJFK, Washington, D.C.
Why don't you run outside and jerk yourself a soda?
Ain't they jerks? I listen to them all the way home from work. Don and Mike on WJFK. Ain't they jerks?
Well, Mike, here we are. We're in Memphis.
Beautiful Memphis.
We're in an RV. We're sitting on the side of a road across the street from Graceland.
Life is good.
We've made it here. Start the music, Slim.
Live from Graceland, home of the late Elvis Presley, in scintillating Memphis, Tennessee, it's the Don and Mike Show. Starring Don Geronimo and featuring Mike O'Mara with Buzz Burbank, Diana Seelman, Sherry Licker, C.L. Broyhill, along with Elvis, Bobo, Spiewak, and the Don and Mike family of tofu-eating dropouts from society with lamb chop sideburns.
That's right, man. Hey, Red, give that man a Cadillac.
Today, we broadcast from the home of the king. We'll have the famous tour of the Elvis Hemorrhoid Wall, a surprise tour of Graceland, Bobo Spiewak and his Elvis karaoke, and lots of conversations with the Elvis people. You gotta love them. All as we pay tribute to Elvis Aaron Presley on the anniversary of his passing.
That's right, man. I'm worm food.
Along with the Don and Mike disease of the day.
I hope it's something that Elvis had, baby.
For today, chalky colon.
Hello, Elvis.
But enough of that. It's on with the tomfoolery and hijinks. And without further ado, let the big old, bad old cartoon begin.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
From the part of my bottom. Does that bother you at all, Daryl, when I do that?
No.
For listening to this frequency wherever you are.
Hey.
Hello, HH. Howdy, hi. It's me, your leader, Donald P. Geronimo.
And then again, an excessively pleasant good afternoon, hello, and welcome, everyone. I'm Mike O'Mara.
And we're not fat.
We're white.
We are Catholic.
And we are sick about it.
Sick about it. Let me start today's show from Graceland by thanking you, as always, a big old messy buttload for listening to the show today. Have golly gee whiz every day on all the fine stations and all the fine cities. This baby was my guest last evening in the Peabody Hotel.
There it is. He's got it in his hand.
She spent the night with me. Oh, my beautiful PV-119 with a list of all the stations
obsessive,
and all the cities.
Obsessive compulsive.
For the remainder of the show, PV-119 will be known as Scylla.
Hey, Scylla.
This is Scylla. She's right there. Love you.
All right.
Yes. Love you. Thank you so much for listening on all the stations across America. Well, we're here.
We made it.
We're in Memphis. Oh, there he is to my right, and to your left, radio's Buzz Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz. And hold the microphone up closer to your mouth, Buzz.
Okay.
And sitting next to him on the couch, there's the beauty of Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Sherry. And there is Bobo Spiewak in his Elvis suit.
Hi, ma'am.
Hello, Bobo. There's Diana, radio's number something producer. Hello, Diana.
Hi, everyone.
And there's our engineer, Daryl Nichols.
I don't think, Don, that I've ever felt this kind of togetherness before. This is the closest quarters we've ever done a show.
Well, you know, after we had that abortion of a remote in Carlisle, we swore that we'd never have the kind of problems that we had again on a remote.
That's right.
To make sure that we could deal with the elements, the excessive humidity, and the thunderstorms, we said when we go to Memphis to do the show, we want an RV to do it from.
That's right.
So the station got us an RV. Except when we got here, we found out that the air conditioning doesn't work.
That's right. You know, sweating the details, you betcha. No air conditioning in beautiful, chilly Memphis.
So lots of times during the show today, I bet you're going to be hearing this sound.
Yeah, there it is.
That is the sound of the baby that is cooling this unit right now.
That's right, a $5 wall fan. Look at that.
I almost busted it with my microphone.
Boy, and you can actually tell that we're doing the show from an RV right now. You can actually hear the hum. If we're all very quiet, you can hear the hum of the RV.
It's a Humvee.
Well, listen, we're glad to be here. We're in Memphis. We've got a day of fun planned. They are ready for us, but we are going to be equally ready for them. By them, of course, I mean the people at Graceland who have put us on the list of people not allowed to come in. And also the many, many Elvis fans.
Oh, they're here.
Who will undoubtedly engage us in some kind of battle, some kind of debate about Elvis, his life and times. But undaunted, we will go on. Before we start the show, before we talk about the weekend of fun in Memphis, some of us had more fun than others.
You're not kidding.
I did want to take a second out to thank Rob for introducing me to his entire family. Friday night, you know, we went to the Redskins Kansas City Chiefs game.
Yeah, you guys were all psyched about that. I don't think I've ever seen that many people in our lobby all getting ready to go to one event.
We were all very excited, and as it turns out, we spent a lot of the evening waiting for Rob's mom and his stepdad to join us in the Vienna Metro stop.
You mean just waiting to go to the game?
Yeah, there is a Metro stop, a subway stop that's
right,
like 5 minutes from the radio station. So we all beat ass out of there, and we're all standing around waiting to go to the game, and we were waiting and waiting on Rob's mom and dad, and as it turns out, they were late.
Oh,
well, I like to think punctuality is kind of a hereditary thing, and you know, I didn't just happen into my habits. They came from perhaps my mother.
So we got there. We got at the game a little late.
How late?
Midway through the second quarter, I believe, is when we arrived.
No.
But you know, as upset as I was about not leaving on time, it was all erased when we got on the train, and I saw the love between Rob and his mame.
Isn't that beautiful?
Do you know that the two of them...
Oh, dear.
The two of them... No. You two have got a relationship like no other mother and son that I've ever seen before. And I don't mean this as a put-down, Rob. I mean, she is your biggest fan. And I would say vice versa.
Yeah, it's very true. She makes me laugh real good, and vice versa.
Just how old were you? I forgot. I've asked you this before when you went. Well, when you stopped breastfeeding, how old were you?
Actually, this trip is sort of a...
He's weaning himself. He's weaning himself right now.
So, yeah.
So we're on the train. You know, there was about 20 of us going on this thing. And,
right.
And we were all standing in the Metro station. Everybody's going, razzle, frazzle, razzle, we're going to miss the game. Razzle, razzle, where's Robbie's mame? Where's Robbie's stepdad? And they got on the train, and everybody was giving them the hairy eyeball, like, ooh, you're the reason that we're late. But then, all of a sudden, the mood changes.
Oh, good.
Robbie starts chasing one-liners with his mom. His mom starts throwing the one-liners back.
It's kind of like a comedy duo.
And then suddenly I hear that laugh. I hear that unmistakable Spiewak laugh. And I will tell you this, that Rob's mame does not have the traditional Spiewak laugh.
Well, you know, I think we said this the first time we met Rob Bobo's mother, that... We really couldn't believe that Bobo sprung forth from that woman.
Well, meaning no disrespect to her own mother, she's a piece. She's a good-looking woman.
Oh, oh
Rob.
God,
she is. Rob, have you seen the movie? What's the name of that movie, Sherry? About the monkey? What's the name of that movie?
Oh, Spanking the Monkey.
Spanking the Monkey.
Yeah. No. I don't mean it that way.
The Rob Spiewak story.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you know, I wonder what happened to me sometimes, too, but she's a really good lady.
No, but anyway, the point is, after a rocky beginning, we all had a pretty darn good time at the game.
She must be a special lady and a very special girl.
What a girl. Mamay.
Mamay.
So after a rocky beginning, we finally got to the game. Like I say, we arrived rather late.
Right.
But the seats were surprisingly good, no?
Very good. Thank you, Matt Elliott, for good seats.
And we had the thrill of watching the Washington Redskins fans, best football fans in the world, boo Heath Shuler.
Uh-oh.
After his, I believe, his second series of downs as a Washington Redskin.
Patient people, all of them.
It sure didn't take long. And we had to bug out early. Bart and I had to leave a little early because Bart was a little tired. But
Daryl, can I ask a favor? While we're doing the show, please don't do pantomime. Yeah, pantomimes. You're waving your arms around like you're having a spastic attack over here.
Well, what are you doing, Daryl?
I was just going over some logistical things with Diana, who's way up in the loft behind us over here.
We're just doing a little radio show, that's all. All right.
Well, what have you been doing for the last 3 hours while we've been trying to get the air conditioning to work?
Hooking up the fan and waiting for the thing to cool off, basically.
He's waving his arms around. I'm sitting there, and Daryl's like doing some kind of like Chinese kabuki theater over here. Actually, it'd be Elvis doing it.
I guess it'd be
Japanese kabuki theater, not Chinese.
So we had to bug out of the game early, but Buzz was telling me that he stayed like till 1:30 in the morning with everybody.
Wow.
They went down in the tunnel after the game. Tell us the names of some of your new friends on the Redskins, Buzz.
Oh, yeah. Tailgated with Matt Elliott.
Microphone to the mouth.
Ed Simmons came by.
Let's see, who else was there? Marty, I'm sorry, I can't remember his last name right now.
Allen.
No.
Marty Allen.
I don't think it was Marty Allen.
His name is Redskin.
And John Giesick. And they were great guys, and it was a good chance to get to know them, and we did. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
You were eating what? You were eating buffalo wings, chicken wings?
Yeah, chicken wings and beer and soda and the whole deal.
No, it was a surprisingly good time. We had a great time, and thanks to Matt Elliott for the tickets. And Rob, you have a wonderful family.
Thank you.
Just please make sure if we ever socialize again, you know my role. Dinner on the table at 7.
Absolutely.
And you know, to the metro station on time.
Well, they haven't been trained as I have. I've been pulled from that environment and almost cured.
So we go to the game on Friday night.
Had a great time.
Saturday we all get up. We meet at the airport. We fly down to Memphis,
Memphis, Tennessee.
And, you know, we had said that we wanted Rob to be wearing his Elvis suit at the airport when we arrived.
That's right.
We were heartbroken, the four of us. Diana, Daryl, and Rob came down earlier in the day on Saturday, and Mike and myself and Buzz and Sherry came down late in the afternoon. We were really surprised to see it was just Diana with the beautiful purple Lincoln Town Car waiting for us.
That's a special vehicle, isn't it?
And we said, where is Rob? And she said that Rob was not in a condition at that time, apparently, to come join us.
Apparently, back at the hotel, doing some celebrating, which of course, I was no stranger to yesterday either.
having some medicine.
That's right.
So we were not able to meet Rob until, when was it? Was it like 9 o'clock Saturday night?
9:15.
We are all in the lobby of our hotel, the beautiful, the Hotel Hell in Memphis, as for it by name.
The hotel, it's the lovely, and the suites at the Hotel Hell are great.
We're at the Peabody Hotel.
Right.
And we're sitting in the lobby. We're having a couple of drinks. And all of a sudden, the elevator doors open up. And here he comes, looking like the spitting image of Elvis Presley right before he croaked. It's the one, the only, Robbie Bobo Spiewak wearing his real-life Elvis suit.
And he stopped the room. He walked across that hotel lobby, and everybody, all eyes were on him.
Now, you will be able, during the show today, to hear a little bit of Rob's Elvis magic, because about 100 yards from where we have the RV right now is a big Elvis karaoke stage.
That's right.
Where various Elvis impersonators are getting up and they're singing The Wonder of You, and what is the other song they got?
Well, there's a lot of them. I'm hearing a lot of Latter-day Elvis over there, because that's the easiest one to do.
What song do you think you're going to be doing when we bring the microphones over there?
I'll take requests, but I would like to do Burning Love. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the one you did at the ratings party, right?
Yes, but, you know, that's different. That's, you know, no jumpsuit or anything.
Do you know Suspicious Minds, too?
Yes, I do.
Can I put in a request for that
one? Sure.
There you go.
And may I put in a request for Let Me Wear My Ring? What is the one?
Wear my ring up around your neck.
Around my neck.
Wear my ring.
And one more. Yeah. Santa Claus is coming to town.
If they have it, I'd love to do it.
Oh, I'd love to do it.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. Down Santa Claus Lane.
I guess it's here comes Santa Claus, not.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Down Santa Claus Lane.
So Rob will be wearing the jumpsuit. Rob will be over at the karaoke booth. In a couple of seconds. So he comes into the lobby. All heads turn. Immediately the flashbulbs start going off, and I'm not exaggerating about this. All of the Elvis fans with blue hair and the bad Kmart shopper fingernails, they're all coming over going, can I please have my picture taken with Elvis?
It is amazing what a pair of lamb chop sideburns will do for Memphis. I mean, it's incredible.
And he's got the Elvis suit on. And would you turn around for a second, Rob,
for the staples?
So we can share with everybody at home. What really is holding Rob's costume together is staples.
That's saying you did that little tailoring yourself.
That's a little bit of home cooking there, Mike.
That's on the, you know, he's got the jumpsuit on, but Elvis has kind of a sash-like belt that he wore around his midsection. And I guess, what was the deal?
It was supposed to Velcro, and I needed just a little bit more. Just a little bit, and it wasn't there.
So he got himself a stapler.
And some elastic, and I made it work.
You know that I when I was at home on Saturday, before we left to come down to Memphis, my lawnmower broke. And you know what happened to it? It reminds me, the way you fix that is much the way that I fixed the lawnmower. You know what happened was, you know up front of the lawnmower where you got the spark plug?
Right.
And it's got that little like protective condom that you put over the spark plug that has a tube to it that makes the whole thing go.
Right.
Well, the little condom thing didn't want to stay on the spark plug.
Oh, how dare that.
So every time I'd start the thing up, as soon as I would get going, the little condom would come off and it would stop.
Now, someone else might have gone to a hardware store.
Yeah.
Someone else might have gone and bought a new one.
Sure.
Any guesses on how I fixed it?
I'd like to hear that.
Staples? No. Tape.
Tape.
Ah. I use tape.
There you go.
I use Scotch tape.
You're becoming an incredible handyman.
I use Scotch tape. I just took some Leppages or whatever the name of lepers or whatever the name of the Scotch tape is, yeah, and taped it right together.
When you need Scotch tape, ask for lepers.
and that's how I fixed it. Much the same way that Rob Jerry rigged his Elvis belt there.
You know, it's two great minds working, thinking alike.
That's terrific.
So Rob got his suit together. He's there. He's in the lobby. He's taking the pictures. He's signing the autographs.
Right.
We were all having a few cocktails. Of course, some of us started earlier than others on the cocktails.
Hi, everybody.
Mike O'Mara, Mr. I Can't Stand to Fly.
Yeah, you're darn right. And it has been a while since we've flown the skies.
I would like to say, on behalf of all of those who flew with you, Mike,
yes.
it wasn't really bad weather.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't threatening skies. It weren't gale warnings.
Well, not to you guys. You know, anytime you're up there, as far as I'm concerned, and if there's a thunderstorm anywhere in the continental United States, I say we're flying through some dangerous weather.
Do you remember what you said to me? You said to me, you're real worried because there were thunderstorms in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I was watching.
We're like 4 hours from Pittsburgh.
Now, hold on there.
Hold on, now, wait a minute.
Now, come on now.
Rochester.
The thing is, I'm watching the golf tournament on Channel 9 in Washington, D.C., which is, our local TV station. And all of a sudden, one of those things comes on the TV, that boop, boop,
right?
Boop. Well, I don't care where it is. When I hear that on the station that's, in our backyard, I got a little
concerned. So that set off the thing in your brain that said, have two double scotches before you take off?
They were double vodkas, then, Don, but...
Then have two more before the plane takes off, and then, I believe, two more while we were in flight.
I overdid it. I'm the first one to say that I really did overdo it. But you know something? Here's the magic of that. When we took off...
What is the magic of that? Please tell me.
The magic of that is, I am a phobic flyer, as you know. I always have been. I don't like the experience. I don't like the sensation. And my least favorite part, of course, is the takeoff. It's very, very scary. You go very, very fast, and then you're on the ground.
That is how the plane takes off, though, by gaining speed.
And then you're in the air, and it's something that frightens me. It frightens me a tremendous amount. And with the behavior pattern that I had yesterday, the takeoff part, absolutely stress-free.
Absolutely,
completely stress-free.
I bet so. So Mike was having a good time.
And you're good to me on planes. I want to thank you again. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you giving me the window seat, because you know how important that is to me. Even though I'm afraid of flying, I like to see what's going on.
You realize that as I was asking you, would you like the window, you were like pushing me out of the way. Gotta get the... Of course, this was after the two double vodkas. Gotta get to the window.
Get out of my way, man.
But as soon as he sits down, can I get a drink? then that one's down. Then you sly devil, you even kept the second drink as we were taking off with. They're supposed to be coming around and picking them up.
I gotta tell you something. That's nothing new for me. That is a strategy I have implemented. It is right before takeoff. I like to get the last drink before we take off, and then as the flight attendant is coming through the aisle, I will just casually drop it to my side, left-hand side, closest to the window. The flight attendant will not see it, and it will be mine through the entire takeoff. And I always love doing that. I really... And I think I did overdo it a little bit.
I think we've crossed a bridge here.
Yes, yes. You mean a breakthrough?
A breakthrough
is a breakthrough.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for the intervention.
The intervention lasted, I guess, until we landed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then as soon as we got off the plane, Mike was still flying.
Yes.
We got our cars. We went to the hotel. We went upstairs. We freshen up. Mm-hmm. We come back downstairs. Rob joined us about 9:15 Saturday night in the lobby. We stayed down there, I guess, for about an hour or so.
Yes, you did. I think you retired early. You were one of the early retirees. And,
well, I had to get up to go to church.
Yeah, it's very...
I did go to church.
I know. You on the road now. You are a much better man than I, because you behaved yourself. I somehow did not want the party to stop. And, you know, with my friends Robbie, Buzz, and Daryl, the party didn't have to stop.
No, and didn't you have a fifth member of that party you were hoping to have join you, Mr. B.B. King?
B.B. King, yes. Well, here's what happened. We were all down there in the lounge of the hotel, and we were having a great time. And you were part of the party for a little while. And everybody was, as soon as Bobo made the appearance with the Elvis jumpsuit, it was terrific because he just livened up the whole group.
Yeah, do you remember that group of girls? Well, Daryl, I'm sure you remember that. The group of girls that came down that wanted to get their picture taken with Rob, like 10, 12... 14 Tanya Hardings in training.
Yeah.
All of them coming down to go, can I have my picture taken with Elvis? And you were even singing happy birthday to one of them. Weren't you, Bobo?
Yeah, imagine that.
And the thing is, Bobo, when you got off the elevator, you worked the room. You actually worked the room.
There's something magic. I have to side with Don on uniforms now. There's something magic about a uniform.
Yep. Yeah, it brings out the best in a man, Rob. Even a uniform's got staples right in the back by the ass.
That's right. And, a stained uniform, perhaps a weather-beaten polyester uniform. There's a magic. There's an innate magic that you cannot... No stain can ever destroy.
Dog-eared, chewed on.
You know, you're not the same Bobo you were last night. I will tell you that. You got some doing before you get to that. But when you got off that elevator, you were like... snapping the fingers, hopping to every table. How you doing? Yes, very good to see you.
I don't think that any of you guys have the magic that you had last night. Of course, none of you have the incredible amount of alcohol in your body right now that you did last night.
Yes, and unfortunately, I will not be adopting that strategy for improving my attitude on the show. A lot of people say, Mike, why don't you have the double vodkas before you go on the air? But I just don't think it would work for very long.
Oh, and I got the real Mike O'Mara on the plane, too. I got the Mike O'Mara who had the four vodkas and then the two more before we took off. The Mike O'Mara that wanted to go back on the good days about all the guys in radio that we've worked with.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when we worked? When we worked in Lima? Man, we let that guy have it, didn't we?
You know, have you noticed? I don't know what it is. I think you're doing a little bit, too. We have been, in our conversations, awfully nostalgic lately. I don't know what it is. I mean, just going back over the old war stories and all that, and yesterday with the double vodkas, I think I was recreating our entire career.
It was down memory lane for you last night.
And, of course, featuring the prominent feature, Alan Goodman, in those conversations.
Yeah, I got a lot of that from Mike last night. And as a matter of fact, so did everybody else up in the first class cabin. Everybody was getting an earful of the story.
Yeah, I guess I really did stop movement when I got on my knees and started crying.
But then last night, I retired to my room. I don't know what happened to Diana, to Sherry, but I do know that Daryl and Bobo and Buzz and Mike then went out to make an evening of it.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
and,
we did.
And the first stop was going to be, what, B.B. King's Blues Club?
Well, actually, that was the primary destination. We didn't want to go hopping around. B.B. King's was the place. As soon as you went up on the elevator, shortly after that, Bobo decided to get out of his Elvis suit and get into his B.B. King clothes.
Get into something more comfortable.
Get slipped
into his kimono.
He slipped into his bathrobe, came back down. We had a lovely time in the hotel. And then we hit Beale Street, which is the famous Blue Street in Memphis, Tennessee. And we did a beeline for B.B. King's nightclub.
And we got to do a break right here. When we come back, we'll start the Elvis stuff very shortly. But when we come back, I think you want to hear about Mike dancing with Rob A.
Oh, my God.
Cheek to cheek, as it were.
Very close.
At B.B. King's club.
Yep.
And the various stories of people touching Rob and Buzz then stumbling out of the hotel and... Daryl putting his credit cards into a bank night depository slot.
That's right.
They had a pretty good night.
Yeah.
A pretty good night. It continued long into Sunday morning.
Yes, and you mentioned church. And,
that's a good night.
you mentioned church, and I just wanted to say that my evening also ended with a brief moment of prayer.
Were you praying to the porcelain god?
Yes, I was. Oh, yes, I was.
Hey, do you know, though, in church on Sunday morning, the reverend, whoever the guy is at the Episcopalian church right down here in downtown Memphis, he said, do we have anybody in town for the Elvis festivities? This was at the 7:30 Holy Eucharist Mass, and I put my hand up. You know what the guy says? He says, I swear to God, he says, thank you very much.
you find the hippest preachers in the world.
Let's do a quick break. We are very glad that you're with us. They haven't pulled the plug on us yet.
Nope.
All seems well from Graceland. We're here for Elvis Death Day. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We have the opportunity to tap the mother load, as it were.
Wacky crew, we are live from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
For Elvis Death Day, which is tomorrow, Tuesday. But there's plenty of Elvis fanatics down here now. The great the gates to Graceland are going to be open to the public in how long, Diana? Like an hour and a half, something like that? And this year, we are going to try our greatest Elvis stunt ever.
You bet.
Keeping in mind that Mike and I are on the list of the people that are banned from Graceland.
Yep.
We will this year take our wireless microphones in. And do you hear me? We will broadcast from Elvis's grave!
There you go. That is the goal, to broadcast from the king's grave.
I love just hanging out the window of the RV and just yelling at the cars that are driving by.
We are literally on top of Elvis Presley Boulevard, and just a few short yards down the street is Graceland, the place.
We are right across the street from, is it Graceland Chrysler Plymouth? No, Southland Chrysler Plymouth. And the Elvis Presley Shopping Center, one of the many Elvis mini-marts.
Yeah, and just a short walk away from the Lisa Marie Jet, too.
Hey, listen, and besides the fact that we're going to be going into Graceland, we're going to be going into the stores, we're going to have Rob A. doing the karaoke, we are also going to be taking the Lincoln Town Car out.
Oh, yes.
Because we have some new technology this year. We're going to be making two stops. It'll be Mike, myself, and Rob as Elvis in the car.
Right.
First, we will be driving to... Rob, do you remember that burger place last year with the drive-thru window?
Yeah, Lightning Burger.
Mike, yeah, that's a Lightning Burger.
Yeah.
Mike and I wanted you to run over and order us some burgers. And do you remember your response?
I remember I couldn't do it.
He was too tired.
Yeah, it's a little cooler this year in Memphis.
The weather's a little better this year.
And we didn't want Rob to go get us the burgers because we were hungry, although we're always hungry. We just wanted to watch Rob in action.
Yeah, and do you want to keep the second location a surprise
yes.
for the boy?
Yes.
Because you're going to, I just want to tell you, Bobo, you're going to be very pleased.
There's another secret location that we'll be taking to you that we scoped out when we were driving up Elvis Presley Boulevard a couple hours ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You'll be going to Lightning Burger and to another eating establishment as Elvis Presley.
Sometimes when I'm just looking at you, just in that outfit. That outfit is a winner, Bobo.
And good suit. Can I ask you something about your condition after your hearty partying last night?
Yeah.
You know, last year when we wanted you like to go to Lightning Burger, it was because we were in that mode with you, Rob, where we love watching you eat.
Right.
Am I alone in this? Would anybody else like to watch Rob eat while he's in his Elvis
yeah,
suit?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Here, absolutely. Here.
Let's have a bite then. Yeah, sure.
We mightn't remember the verses.
We might remember to eat, though.
So if your stomach is up to it...
Oh, yeah. Perhaps it wasn't that rough of a night.
Perhaps we could have you eat some, too.
Yeah, not for you, it wasn't.
Well, now, I want to hear about the night, because I purposely have asked everybody to keep everything away from me until we went on the air today.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't do this as often as I used to.
This is Mike's standard disclaimer.
And I'll tell you right now that I'm beginning to realize why. I'm slowing down. Daryl and Rob A. were telling me.
It doesn't sound to me like you're slowing down at all.
They were telling me that they got up and, well, I'm talking about the recovery process. They were telling me they got up this morning and went out and had breakfast or something like that. I was kind of like in a coma for quite a bit.
As a matter of fact, you stated to me that you didn't think you would pass a blood alcohol test this morning when I called you at approximately 9:45.
For some reason, the magic of the evening got hold of me. I think we all had a tremendous time. We went down to B.B. King's Blues Bar, which I have been saying for like a week now. I wanted to go down and check out B.B. King's, and I had mentioned this to Buzz. And so it was Bobo, Daryl, Buzz, and myself heading down to Beale Street, arm in arm. Oh, well, I'll tell the truth. We were holding hands.
Skipping.
And we walked into B.B. King's.
Like on the Yellow Brick Road. That's how we were.
It was great.
We're going to meet Elvis. Well, wonderful Elvis of us.
Here we are, Maya. And Beale Street, for anybody that doesn't know Memphis, is really the heart of the blues in the South. So, you know, Memphis doesn't just have Elvis. It's got some of the best blues clubs in the country.
And anyone who doesn't know Memphis, let me say, this is a cosmopolitan city. Don't believe what you hear about this being, you know, like the gateway to hell.
Sure.
I tell you, they've made more improvements to Memphis, and we can see those improvements every year when we come.
I mean, where else can you buy Rottweiler artwork on the street?
You know, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. I swear to God, that's what I'm going to say. There is a stand-up up the street, one of these guys that's standing on a street corner. He had a variety of items, including Elvis velvet paintings.
Beautiful Elvis velvet paintings.
Bird cages. Banks, like, and did you see the banks, the Miss Piggy Banks?
Yes.
Miss Piggy Banks and velvet paintings of Rottweilers with their mouth open, like going, ah.
And a Rottweiler statue.
Yeah, a ceramic one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
The Rottweilers are really popular, but I like it so much here that I'm thinking about investing in property.
Well, Mike, I've got an A-frame.
If you want to join me, I'll tell you this. The fishing is great.
It is great. It's great.
So, I'm sorry. What happened last night? You guys go to B.B. King's.
We go into B.B. King's, and there's a rumor floating around. And, Bobo, you can jog my memory here, because I'll be honest with you. My memory is pretty lousy. Well,
and mine's a slate. I got everything.
We went in, and the rumor, as soon as we got into B.B. King's, the rumor was B.B. the man himself was going to be there. Didn't they say that, Buzz? That's what was going around?
That's what they probably say every night.
I think, yeah, we figured that that's their line for tourists. That when you walk in and say, well, there's a rumor that B.B. King's going to be here. And, of course, we all go, really? Oh, yeah, okay, let's stay then.
Have a couple more beers. Stay forever.
So we did. We did stay. We decided we were going to park it. We met some very nice new friends. Some of them more friendly than others, I guess, that were sitting at the bar. And
why? What do you mean?
Crowded.
Well, that one lady that you bumped into who was very friendly, right?
There was a lady who was stroking my thigh with her shoe on purpose for about 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. And
dearie.
The place was jumping, though. There was no place to sit, so we all stood up between the bar and the stage and then waited for the band to come on. And when the band came on, let me tell you.
The King Bees. That's the house band.
There's the slate. See, I would not remember a detail like that, but Bobo has. The King Bees?
Yeah.
That's why they have the yellow and black vests on.
Right, and the antennas.
do they have John Belushi? You know when he used to dress like a bee on Saturday Night Live? The Killer Bees, yeah.
He hated doing that, too. John Belushi hated doing that bit. They came up on stage, and I, who knows, maybe it was the celebrating, but I think probably one of the finest bands I've ever heard in my life. And oh, Bobo and I were so excited.
Now let's hear about you two dancing. Now this wasn't any kind of a.
Oh no, no, we.
You know, I ain't saying nothing. I mean, you're
very close.
You're both very close. You're both very handsome men. You both are currently attached to women that you both are deeply in love with.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and deny that I, you know, sometime in the past haven't found Bobo attractive, but I will tell you that. You know, I really didn't make any passes at him or anything last night.
Well, how did you end up dancing with him?
We were shoulder to shoulder, and it was really not a facing each other dance as much as we were just jumping up and down like two schoolgirls.
But you were technically dancing with Bobo.
I cannot deny, and I will not deny, that I did, technically, I guess I did dance with Bobo.
That's what I heard.
We were standing next to each other. We were both reacting to the music in the same excited way. And
Perhaps it was Woodstock.
Yeah?
The feeling of Woodstock, the vibe coming far south.
Oh, God, did you see any of Woodstock?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see any of the shots of those morons sliding down the hill full of all kinds of mud and stuff?
Sherry was telling me, what was that statistic?
750 broken ankles.
And how many people dead? I had heard on Saturday there were at least two, maybe three people dead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let me just say this. I only hope that one of those dead was Kennedy from MTV. That would make Woodstock a great event. And if the other one was Pauly Shore, Darryl, what is... Oh, and one baby born.
Oh, a baby's born. Now there's the true spirit of Woodstock right there.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry. Again, I've gotten off the rack talking about the dirty people at Woodstock.
Well, the whole night at B.B. King's is spent. We are waiting for B.B. We want B.B. The band was terrific.
Really good.
But the band took an awful long time in between sets.
I think you drink more when there's no music, so I think perhaps that was their strategy.
It's a heck of a point, Bobo. I think you're absolutely right that,
Now,
my question is,
yes.
While Mike was dancing with Bobo, and while Buzz was having his inner thigh tapped by a lady in her shoe, mm-hmm. Daryl, what were you doing? Was this when you put your credit cards down the night depository slip?
Yeah, I was off to the ATM machine on a little cash mission.
Yeah, Daryl's next. Daryl's coming out with a new novel, Acting Stupid.
It's one of those embarrassing moments that you prefer not to relive over and over and over again.
Well, relive it for us one more time, Daryl.
Yeah, go ahead, Daryl.
Sure. Well, what happened was I stuck my ATM card in the machine, and it wouldn't read it. So I put it back in my pocket and got the credit card out and stuck the credit card in the machine. And then,
Daryl, had you been drinking?
Yes, I have.
And Daryl's being very, very kind because I do feel partially responsible.
Why, did you send him out to get the money?
I sent him out
for
money.
You always send somebody out to get money for you, Mike.
I believe the quote was, I'm naked without cash.
I've heard that before.
You know I say that.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'm like, Daryl, we cannot go walking into B.B. King's without cash, please. And Daryl said, I'll go to a money machine.
I'm naked without cash.
And I didn't have my money card. I didn't have my little bank card, and I really feel naked with that.
Hey, let's do a very quick commercial break. We'll come right back, live from Memphis, Ebbis Death Day. We'll be right back.
got the best of Don and Mike. They can take a nothing day and suddenly make it seem worthwhile. Don and Mike.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to the best of Don and Mike. I'm Sherry Licker, here with Rob A. filling in while Don and Mike and Buzz and Charles and Diana take the day off. Let's go back to Memphis now and hear about Rob A.'s Elvis costume and meet the first Elvis fanatic. It's Elvis Death Day, 1994, right here on the best of Don and Mike. Hi, Don.
Howdy, hi. We're back from Memphis, still in the beautiful RV. We're about to hit the road. Listen to this. Here's the sound of the late afternoon traffic in Memphis, Tennessee on Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Trafficy.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it, Mike? That's what location shooting is all about.
Cue enhancement sound effects.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. There goes Elvis driving a Camaro right there. There went Elvis, just like you, Rob. It looked like you.
Well, they might have been one of my long-lost brothers.
And isn't Bobo getting the stares, too?
Yeah. You know, he's got the look. There are a lot of guys here who have the dyed jet black hair and the big sideburns. And we've even seen a couple of Silla wannabes around here today.
That's right.
But as of yet, Rob is the only one in the official Elvis jumpsuit that I've seen.
Yeah, he looks fantastic, and he is stopping traffic.
And now, it's weird because, you know, you feel a little silly sometimes in something like this, but you're getting...
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, when you get to this area, it's like stares of adoration, and people want to see you, and they want to take your picture, and it speaks kind of a creepy feeling for Elvis fans.
And that, did Daryl get to the part about what he did with all his credit cards?
That's where we're up to now. Oh, and then in our next break, we're going to take the mics out. Rob is going to do the karaoke. Perhaps Mike and I will join him in Burning Love or whatever it is that we decide to do.
That's great.
And then off to Graceland. Then we're out in the town car for a day of fun in Memphis. Daryl, you went out. Mike's naked without cash. What happened?
Well, in between the time that the ATM card did not work and the credit card did, and I was waiting for the cash to be dispensed to me, for some reason, I saw another slot other than the one where you stick your ATM card. And, of course, it said night depository, and I read that, and I comprehended it, but I wasn't quite sure what it was for, why I was...
No, you didn't really comprehend it, Daryl. I think that's the whole point.
Maybe you're right. So, anyway, I had one hand on the credit card and the other hand on my driver's license and Blockbuster card and everything else that I had in my pocket. And one hand was doing one thing, and the other hand kind of stuck it in the slot.
Don't you like the way he's telling the story like it happened by magic?
I think basically, if I could tell the story, what happens is Daryl is blotto. Mike sends him out for some money. Daryl is so drunk that he just absentmindedly put his driver's license, his Blockbuster card, and all of his credit cards into the night depository slot at a bank. So what happens, Daryl? I mean, how do you get all your stuff back?
Well, I wait till the next morning, and the guy comes and opens up the night depository. I go walk up to the bank, and he's
making this up, so you're not worried about it. Come on. You're hoping that baby rats don't eat your credit card overnight. You know, you're counting on the fact that this guy's going to open the bank, and it's going to all be there. I hope it works out for you.
I really do, too. So
so what happens then? Daryl, you obviously you didn't get the money then?
Oh, no. I came back with cash and credit card that I used to get the cash.
And I quickly snatched it out of his hand.
And the evening progressed.
Then you guys kept dancing. And
we did the dance.
Buzz, any other feet approach any orifice on your body?
No, just those.
Just those. And then I hear that Buzz stumbles out.
Yeah, Buzz lets
I decided to call it a night. You know, I'm not a big drinker. I don't drink frequently. But on this particular occasion, I think I could say I did it upright.
Well, Buzz, I happen to know that, at least one other time in the last 6 months that I was with you, you drank a lot. That time that we all went to...
Not like this. No,
New York.
That really
You drank more last night than you drank when we were in Queens, New York?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible.
Oh, gosh! Are you kidding?
Yeah, so...
Wow! Congratulations.
Fortunately, there were no automobiles involved. The Beale Street was in walking distance of Hotel Hell.
I was going to say, if that's the case, then perhaps we could welcome you to the club, too. This is Buzz!
Buzz!
Hi, Buzz!
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. It was a festive evening. I will tell you something.
And that's an AA joke.
Sure.
For those of you that don't know...
Thank you all very much.
That's an Alcoholics Anonymous joke.
Buzz left about a half an hour before we did, and because I guess he'd reached his limit. Mm-hmm. My limit, of course, a little later down the road. But I'll tell you, the evening ended, and Rob A. can probably tell this story better than I can, but I got to a point where I felt... The celebrating should stop. And it was my body telling me the celebrating should stop. You know, you get to a point where your body just kind of says,
that's just about all. It's time for you to go home. And that's when we stopped.
Approximately what time was that?
I have no idea.
None of us know, but it was like a fire bell went off. I saw Mike. He put his beer down, and he was off to the... Although not directly.
Hi, ladies. Hey, ladies. You want to see Elvis? Come here. We got Elvis right here. Just trying to talk to some lovely Memphis ladies walking by our RV.
Did they look like they were afeard of you?
Yes, they did.
They were
afeard?
Perhaps,
you know, maybe if I get you out the window, it would help next time, Rob.
All right, I'll run out next time.
All right, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just captivated by the traffic going by.
Right on Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Oh, that's great. Hey, there's an Elvis fan from Missouri right here pulling in right here. Look at her.
Shall I go welcome her?
Memphis. Yeah, go welcome her, Rob.
All right.
Go ahead. Out there right now. Welcome her to Memphis. Here we go. Here goes Bobo Spiewak. Go get her before she drives away now.
She's running.
Go get her. Go
Come
get
back.
Her, Rob.
She's running.
Come back. There he goes.
Nice parking job she's doing, too.
I just want to say welcome. Hope you have a good time tonight.
Oh, you an impersonator?
No, I dress like this all the time. Are you from? Where are you from?
St. Louis.
Did you just drive in? How long of a drive is that?
6 hours.
You have a nice ride?
Yeah, I will.
All right, well, you have a good time tonight, all right? Thank you, honey.
This is the greeter. He's going to be our executive host.
That was a good first question she had. Are you an impersonator?
No, I'm Elvis, baby.
And she asked that like if he was, it was going to really mean something.
That was a lackluster interview, I have to apologize. I was just thrown by the beauty of her smile.
Now watch out, she's barking right here, right by us.
Looks like a mouthful of yellow chiclets.
Hey, hold on. Look at, I see something in the back of her car that tells me she's my kind of woman.
All right,
hold on a minute. Let me see if I see this right. Not only in the back of her car does she have... Yeah, come here, look at this. Not only does she have in the back of her car an Elvis Presley bumper sticker, but you see this one right here? Tennessee, one Conway.
So not only an Elvis fan, but you are also a Conway Twitty fan. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is terrific. Who do you like more, Elvis or Conway?
Elvis
would be your priority?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
Huh?
What are you doing there? Oh, Rob.
Oh, look at this.
Hold on.
She got the sunscreen.
Yeah. Did you see what Rob was talking about? The chicken?
There. Do you have any chiclets, Don?
Oh, she has an Elvis Presley sun cover for her dashboard.
From the Elvis Presley Museum in Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, Orlando, Florida, and Honolulu, Hawaii. Have you ever been to the one in Honolulu?
No, I think I got this I don't know where I got this.
What do you like best about Elvis? Why do you come to Memphis every year?
His dancing, his singing, he's gorgeous.
And how do you think this man stacks up as an Elvis impersonator? This man named Bobo.
He's okay.
He's okay, all right.
Thank you for being so nice and talking to us right here. We want to give you some chiclets to go.
All right.
Do we have any chiclets back on the RV?
All right. Are we giving away the chiclets?
Rob. Don. Those teeth.
All right.
I like your teeth.
They're yellow.
My God.
Oh, that's a good start.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's a good start with the Elvis fans. Who's those big cake yellow teeth?
My God.
Cracked.
I don't think I've ever seen.
Hey, no parking here. No parking on the dance floor. Hi, ladies. Hey, come here. We got something we want to show to you. Come here. We're doing a radio show right now. Hi, son. What's your name?
I'm Rodney.
Hi, Rodney. Where are you from?
Jonesboro.
Jonesboro where? Tennessee?
No way. Georgia.
Jonesboro, Georgia. Hey.
Jonesboro, Georgia.
Look, girls, we got Elvis here in the car.
This is Elvis Presley right here.
Hi.
Come on over. Hey, Mom, come here for a second.
Darling, you can't park here.
Yeah, what was that, Elvis?
Darling, you can't park here.
You can't park here. This is reserved for Elvis.
Too close to the road.
But Elvis is right there.
Too close to the road. What's your name, Mom?
Margaret.
Hey, Margaret, how often have you been coming down to Graceland?
Well, 2 days in a row now. Does that count?
Yeah, and why do you come to Graceland?
To see Elvis.
Elvis.
Hello, darling.
Elvis is dead, though.
No, he lives on.
He lives on, okay.
That's pretty much everybody's line down here.
Okay, no, you really don't have to move your car. We're just kidding.
Oh, okay.
Very nice meeting.
She was on TV yesterday.
She was on the TV? Why was she on the TV?
Because she got interviewed all about Elvis.
Really, you did? Come here, let me interview you on the radio. What did they ask you on TV?
They just asked me why I came to Graceland.
And why did you come to Graceland?
So I could see where Elvis lived.
Hey, do you think I should ask these girls the trivia question to see if they want to win a prize?
Absolutely. So we've got a very special Elvis trivia question. If you can answer it, you'll win a prize.
All right. Now, at the time of Elvis's death, how much did his colon weigh? at the time of Elvis's death? Do we have a guess? How much did Elvis's colon weigh at the time of his death? If you get it right, we'll give you a prize.
No.
You know colon, large intestine?
No, his colon, his large intestine.
Oh.
Any idea?
Weigh?
Yeah, how much did it weigh?
How much did it weigh?
Come on.
10 pounds.
10 pounds. I'm sorry. 40 pounds.
40 pounds.
He was quite a man. Listen, I wish we could give you the
Elvis. It was impacted.
I wish we could give you the Elvis prize. You're a very nice family. It's nice meeting you. Have a great time.
Thanks.
We'll watch your car for you.
Okay.
No need to lock it. We'll watch it for you.
Yeah, well, okay.
All right.
There you go.
Bye, you guys. Well,
it was very nice. And I just wanted to point out, they all had very nice teeth.
They did, which just has to show you it's not anything, you know, it's... You can't, like, set a clock by the teeth or anything.
Are we done talking about the weekend chicklets? Are we done talking about the weekend in Memphis?
Yeah, we ended up leaving when it was time. As Rabe said, he looked at my eyes and knew it was time to go. We must have looked like the Three Musketeers, Daryl, Bobo, and myself.
Walking
down.
You boys went back to the room and you watched the Munsters, I heard?
They did. I went back to the room and had a moment of prayer. And then I went to sleep.
Praying to the porcelain god.
That's right. I had my moment of prayer, and it was a fine, fine evening.
That's a fine evening.
That's fine evening. B.B. King's in Memphis.
How about a frog? We might remember little verses.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, we're in Memphis.
Now, this is the time of the show where it could get dangerous.
It grows hair from this moment on.
There are occasional merchants, occasional Elvis fans that... don't track with us on our particular breed of humor when it comes to the King of Rock and Roll.
We even had a couple of run-ins with the Memphis police.
Yeah, the finest. They're sort of sweet-smelling police.
The sweetest-smelling police in the Mid-South. We'll see what we can do. Let's get out there, guys.
Hey.
Here we go. Nothing like the stench of a campground. We're right next to the KOA campground where they have hot showers and clean restrooms.
But it's not muddy. Not like Woodstock. We don't have any mud down here. We're grateful.
Although the music, Mike, I'd say, compatible.
Absolutely.
Comparable and compatible with Woodstock. Because I know at Woodstock you had, Blind Melon, you had Aerosmith, but did you have Elvis impersonators at Woodstock? I don't think so.
Absolutely not. And, you know, we only can hope that baby that was born at Woodstock will grow up to be an Elvis impersonator.
You know, when we got down to this strip area today...
Hey, it's a mini Elvis.
Sherry had the best reaction. As we drove down Elvis Presley Boulevard, Sherry's quote, I believe, was, "That's it?"
Yeah, I was shocked. It was like Glen Burnie. I mean, I was very surprised. It was very... I mean, I just thought it was going to be a little bit more... Oh, look, a little Elvis impersonator.
We got
Glen
many
Burnie.
Elvis.
Yeah. That used to be my radio name.
Yeah. Glen Burnie?
Glen Burnie on the Glen Burnie Show. Yeah, there's really nothing to Graceland. It's a couple little strip shopping centers. It's Graceland, and then there's an exhibit where they have Elvis's planes, and it takes about 30 seconds to drive through the whole thing, and that's it.
I thought it was going to be like an amusement park, where you'd see some big entrance, and you would see all this flash and
well, you
pizzazz.
See, Sherry, I think it is an amusement park. I think it's better than any amusement park could ever be.
Welcome to White Trash World. And now on stage, as Mike and Sherry both mentioned, a miniature Elvis impersonator, a little kid about 6-7 years old.
I think it would be safe to say that he is wowing the crowd. He is doing a fantastic job of
exciting.
Let's
listen. Mikey reminds me of Little Ricky.
He's terrific, isn't he?
I'll say this. He's good. But I don't think he's as good as Corky. You know, Corky's got an album coming out. We read about it on the airplane on the way down here.
And you're going to put that album on the Donnie Countdown, aren't you?
That's going to debut at number one. Now, Rob, as I look around the crowd, I see 1, 2, 3, 4 other Elvises. Do you think you're up to the challenge? I can take them. They're mine. Going away. And what about this guy over here in the green suit?
Oh, my God. Is that some sort of camouflage or
what?
Let's
go talk to him.
All right.
All right. Come on, Buzz. Come on, Sherry.
All right.
We're going to interview the guy in the camouflage suit here.
How you doing? Can we talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
Are you an Elvis impersonator?
Well, I'm an Elvis minister from the Davenport, Iowa. I preach the gospel of Elvis up there for the Catholic Church. I'm affiliated with the St. Patrick's Church of Memphis.
What is the gospel of Elvis, sir?
It's equal love versing intellectual stupidity, which spells out Elvis.
That's a fascinating concept.
How many beers have you had today?
I'm a Catholic minister. I'm allowed a few beers.
Yeah, that's true. All the priests I've ever met have enjoyed them.
And the outfit you have on, we were describing
it as a Canadian jumpsuit. I did a concert up in Canada, up above Thunder Bay.
Are you going to be getting up and performing here today?
I don't know if I have enough beers. I might.
I think based on that blast of breath I just got, I think you've had enough, sir. But it's nice meeting you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Enjoy yourself.
All the way from California.
Elvis fan, and you've got the Elvis sunglasses, sir.
The sunglasses. Have you ever seen True Romance with Christian Slater?
No.
True Romance? No, I don't think I saw that one.
Big Elvis fan, that movie. I'm a big Elvis fan because of him.
What is? You're a big Elvis fan because of Christian Slater?
Yes.
I pity you. Let's not talk to this guy anymore. A guy who's an Elvis fan because of Christian Slater.
You meet all kinds. Everybody's got a reason. And I wanted to say before, when you were talking about Bobo comparing him to the other Elvis impersonators, already he's got it over them with
the jumpsuit. Now,
sure.
Rob, what do we have to do to get you up here?
I think we have to go sign up. It's
and have Mike and I
thing.
Back you up.
Oh, my Jordan.
You want to join him on stage? And you too,
yeah.
Buzz. And maybe, Sherry, you can be one of the female Jordanaires.
Sure.
All you have to do is sing the backup parts.
Oh,
you
well,
guys
okay.
Say,
oh, sure. Yeah, well, sure.
Right.
There's a lady taking the stage right now.
Oh, here's a female Elvis impersonator.
Lady Elvis.
Oh, there's another Lady Elvis right there wearing the jumpsuit. All right, let's go sign up now. Let's go see what we got to do to sign Rob up for this contest.
Hey, Don?
Yes, Mike?
I don't think that's a lady.
Oh, you're right. That's a guy. My mistake. Where do we got to go?
I think over here.
All right, where do we go to sign up our friend Bobo to join the contest?
It's not a contest.
It's the exhibition.
Yeah, that's all it is. Go to that corner over there.
That corner. All right, that corner. Come on, guys.
Here we go.
Buzz, this is not a contest.
Ah.
So please, no wagering.
Please, no wagering. Hey, now, there's another Elvis guy.
Yeah, he looks good.
Oh, he's picking his nose.
I think we talked to him last year.
Yeah, we have.
I think so, too.
Hard to tell. They all look like Elvis.
Did it look like that guy was picking his nose?
It looked like he was picking his nose as he was looking at us, and then he looked. He had his finger up his nose, and I saw a glimmer of recognition that he remembered his interview with us.
Oh, hold on, Rob's getting his picture taken. Hold on, there he.
Hey, Rob, when you get your picture taken, can you go down into the deep knee bend pose?
Sure, hold on, let's see if we can do that.
Do it now, baby. Right.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a good thing he's got those staples, man. All right, where do we go to sign him up?
I think over in the back corner. I think I see the table. Okay. You know, when he goes into that deep knee bend, you can practically hear the women coo.
That's not all you can hear.
Oh, God.
All right. No, this is a beer truck. Oh, here we go, right here. I think we signed him up. Excuse me. Hi. Hey, where do we sign up somebody?
Oh,
there's an Elvis impersonator who's signing up right now.
I think we go around the front.
All right. Hi, how you doing, son? Do you speak? No? Are you mute? He's a mute.
Looks like it.
Well, what's your name?
Carolyn.
Hi, and what do we have to do to sign up our friend Bobo for the game?
All he's got to do is give me his name, the songs he'd like to sing.
His name is Bobo, and I think, what was the song you'd like to sing, Bobo?
Burn in Love.
Burn in Love.
And we'd like to back him up, too. We're going to be his Jordanaires. We're just going to stand in back of him. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Now, how long is the wait for performing?
Probably about a half hour.
Half hour?
Half hour?
Okay, good. We'll
Perfect.
Deal with it. Son, can you really speak?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. What's your name?
Doug.
Hey, do we have any chicklets for Doug?
Let's get some chicklets. We're getting chicklets to all of our fans and all the people that are going to be on the show today. So you'll get your box of chicklets real soon, okay?
Hey, okay.
Doug, how old are you, son?
17.
And what do you love best about Elvis?
Just the way his moves.
His moves?
Yes.
Uh-oh, watch that. Spilled somebody's drink. I'm sorry. Nice meeting you guys.
And then he goes over to the other corner?
Yes, he does.
Right now?
Yeah. Now, when his name is called, then you take the slip up to him.
All right, listen, let's do some shopping.
Okay.
While we're waiting for Bobo's name to be called.
All right.
Nice meeting you guys. That was the, that was Mama Chicklet and all her little kids.
The little Chicklet.
All right, let's go in Souvenirs of Elvis. Let's do some shopping.
All right, great.
Be about a half hour. Bobo, here's your little entry slip.
Okay.
All right, we are now walking into one of the many Elvis gift shops.
We have to try and keep...
Hi, ladies.
Don,
yes.
I've been informed we have to try to keep near the door.
Hi, ladies. What are your names?
Sandra LaBelle.
And?
Jean Aker.
Hi, where are you ladies from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
And you're from?
New Hampshire.
How long have you been coming here?
7 years.
Oh, yeah, she does have a 7 years.
Oh, and they're from New England. Pepperidge Fam remembers.
And what is it that you come here for every year?
People.
The people? Going to Elvis and you?
Same thing.
Same thing.
If you don't mind me asking, what would you estimate your average spending is when you come down here for a trip, for souvenirs and stuff like that? Just to give people an idea.
Your life savings? I hope.
It's hard to say.
Now, what about, you've got all these little pins on your hat that light up like you say?
Those are for the trauma center. These are all tax, you know.
Oh, the Elvis Presley Trauma Center here in Memphis,
right. Oh, that's wonderful. That's quite a collection.
That's funny? Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. We would never laugh about a trauma center.
Well, I just thought you had a funny grin there.
Yeah. I'm just smiling because I'm happy to be alive.
Can I be honest with you? We always have stupid grins on our face. We can't help it. We just look like
are you
idiots.
Are always on the radio or is it television?
It's television. Our camera is right out there.
A lot of mercy.
Where were the Michael Moore show? Have you seen it on NBC?
I haven't.
The button you have that lights up, he touched my heart from the trauma center. Also the one that lights up and says first class mail.
That was for the stamp they had. This here was from last year, and this one's from January.
Well, would you wave at our cameras one time and just say hi from Grace?
Yeah.
Right out there. It's right inside the front seat of that truck.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Come on up.
No.
Oh, really? We're doing a radio show.
I'm just...
We're just doing a radio show.
Pretty patient.
When?
Chiclets.
There's a chiclet machine right there.
Yes, we have... Let me buy you guys some chiclets. Here you go.
All right. That's right. We're donating it to the
there's
Red Cross.
Some chiclets for both of you.
That's a plenty big handful of chiclets.
Enjoy those chiclets.
Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you both.
Nice to meet you. Bye-bye.
We ought to get a couple of handfuls. We ought to give them to everybody.
How about a chiclet? She caught me laughing when she said the Elvis Presley Trauma Center. I saw a billboard for that place today when we were driving through downtown Memphis.
Yeah, go ahead.
Diana and I were looking at the brochure for the week, and one of the events of the week is the Elvis Presley 5K run. And, you know, the finish line is at the Trauma Center.
Oh, God.
And we're thinking how appropriate that is.
All right, let's go to the next store. The Wooden Indian. That is the name of the next Elvis store here at Graceland.
The Wooden Indian. Now, yeah, it's just more Elvis stuff. I thought they might sell Indian stuff.
You know, but they all seem to have, all these stores seem to have the same Elvis junk.
Yeah.
It's just some of them have it priced a little more expensive than the others.
You can do comparison shopping. That's the exciting thing about coming down here.
Now, in this store, as you can see, you have not only the Elvis teddy bears, the teddy bears that play Love Me. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Are you Elvis?
No, I'm Buddy Holly.
Are you one of the many Elvis impersonators, or are you just a guy that likes to dress like...
I'm not an impersonator.
You're not an impersonator. A lookalike.
I didn't mean to offend you with that. That Buddy Holly thing, that was a joke, right?
No, I do him better than I do Elvis.
Can you give us a little Buddy Holly? I know we've got music in the background.
If you knew Peggy Sue, I wanted to feel so blue. Oh.
Hey, do we have some chiclets for this guy? This guy's great.
Give him some chiclets.
This guy's great. He does Buddy Holly. I thought he was jerking my chain.
Thanks for being on the show.
I do Conway Twitty, and I do Ricky Nelson.
Oh, let's hear some Conway Twitty.
Conway Twitty, people see me everywhere. They think that I don't care. One and I have harvest seed.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Ricky Nelson. Let's hear some Ricky Nelson.
Okay. Hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart. Well, Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
I thought he was being a wiseacre, Mike.
Yeah, but
really? You're great. Nice to be meeting you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye. It's terrific.
Bye-bye.
Did you catch the breath?
The breath? Let me just say, the death breath.
That is exactly what it was. It was death breath from the grave.
Chicklet ladies,
breath.
Hello. We are broadcasting live on a national radio show from your store. What's the name of the store here?
Oh, she's not talking. Do you speak?
Now, is this... You know, we had someone else who said he was a mute, and he really wasn't a mute. He was just shy. Now, are you just shy? You're not shy? What's... Is this...
Oh, dear. We're being shooed away.
Excuse me?
Can we take the last time with that?
What's that?
He said he wants some chiclets.
Do you want some chiclets?
No, he said, would you please go outside with
us? Okay. Well, that's our first taste of Memphis hospitality.
All right.
That's the South.
Let's try the next place.
That is the magic that is Graceland, and I think you've just gotten the first taste of it. I couldn't hear him. He was kind of mumbling, but he was throwing us out of his store.
He had the good Memphis breath also, Mike.
The troops in there, the ladies seem to be prepared. They seem to be familiar with radio folk.
All right, now let's see if we can get in this story. This story is this Elvis Lee Yours?
Yeah, I think this is Elvis Lee Yours.
Hi, what's the name? Is this Elvis Lee Yours? Is that the name of the store?
No. Do you speak?
No, my boss might not want me to speak.
They're definitely briefed down here.
Why? Do you know why your boss wouldn't want you to speak?
I don't know. Why, Carol?
Where's Carol?
Oh, you looked up in the security camera. Is she watching us on the camera, do you think?
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
How you doing? Hey, is that security camera for DJs, or is it a security camera so you don't get ripped off?
Probably both.
A little bit of both.
Now, I noticed that you have signs in the store. Please, no photos. Do you have people coming in all the time wanting to take pictures of the merchandise?
Mm-hmm. She probably don't want you to do that either, though.
They don't want to take pictures of the Elvis lookalikes.
They don't want to take pictures. That was Buddy Holly again.
That was Buddy Holly again.
Oh, boy. Oh,
boy. Mike, here comes a kindly security officer.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, he's got a stick, I assume.
Officer.
All right.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
How's it going?
How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Can you tell us the name of this store?